Blog Talk Radio.
Reality Rules. What's going on? It's Reality Rules. Survivor Episode 3 Recap. Live from Conroe, Texas, with Andrew and producer Mama F. Tonight's episode is brought to you by the American Sign Language Corporation, telling people to watch out for Tasha, because if you make signs, she will track you down. Let's get real tonight here as we get into Reality Rules. What's going on, guys? It is Reality Rules. I am Andrew, and we have producer Mama S with us tonight. Mama S, how you doing?
I'm doing great. My Cubs are up 4-0 for that wild card spot at the top of the seventh. So
top of the seventh. That kind of reminds me. That's kind of how my Astros were last
night.
3-0 at the top of the seventh. So you got a little bit better than us, but you're only playing the Pirates when we were playing the Yankees. So. We'll see. We'll hope you squeak by. Who do y'all have next if you go to the first round?
Cardinals, I believe.
Cardinals, yeah. And we have the Kansas City Royals coming up. So that's exciting.
Royals.
Baseball. But we're in two different conferences. So the only time we would meet is the World Series. So all you Reality Rules people, if we get to the World Series, Astros versus Cubs, I'll need a new co-host that week because I can't let Mama S on the show.
Yeah, we're going to have some trouble that week going on, definitely.
That week we would need some help if we both make it to the World Series. We got a lot to cover tonight. We had an awesome episode of Survivor. Some things we've never seen before, some surprise evictions. I mean, almost every eviction, I'm not a Big Brother, every tribal so far in this game has kind of been a shocker, you know? It hasn't been predictable of a season at all. Second Chances has not disappointed me so far. I think it's been a great season. We're going to get to that in a minute. Before we do, of course, as always, if you'd like to get interactive with our show, we love when you talk to us because other than that, Mama S only gets to talk to me and she gets bored with that. So if anybody else wants to call in and feedback, you can give us a call on 805-285-9730 or you can log into our chat here and talk to us. In the chat, Jorge was here last week, and we communicated a lot and read a lot of his comments and the things that he has in the chat. You can also message Facebook at Andrew Gibson. You can message Susan on Facebook at Susan Camosa, or you can post on our Facebook page, Reality Rules. Tweet us on Twitter at Reality Rules 1. But we love the most when you call in and talk to us, and that number again is 805-285-9730. Before we get into reality television tonight, we want you to call in this whole episode, and I'm hoping that we can get some callers on this. I have a pet peeve. Sorry, my peas are popping a little bit. I have a pet peeve that I want to discuss tonight. And that is my wife works at a pharmacy. She works at Walgreens Pharmacy, and she works – and when you go to Walgreens, there's that little drive-through. So if you don't want to go in and walk in and go to the store and get your prescriptions and those kind of things, you can drive through the pharmacy there. And she gets some of the craziest requests through this drive-through pharmacy. She could be working and trying to fill a prescription, trying to give somebody's medicine for them, and she'll get like somebody that'll say, hey, can you do me a favor and walk into the store and get me a Coke and check it out through the drive-through? Or hey, can you go over there and get me some of them Rice Krispie treats and some milk so I can have cereal tomorrow and run it through the drive-through? Here's what I want to know as we go through tonight's episode. What is the craziest thing you have ever asked for in a drive-through, or if you work at a drive-through, what's the craziest thing somebody has ever asked for you in a drive-through window? You can call us and let us know that at 805-285-9730. Mama S is going to be posting that question on our Facebook page. You can comment on that, or you can also tweet us on Twitter at Reality Rules 1 and let us know what's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you at a drive-through. What have you asked for? What somebody asked you? What has gone on in a drive-thru? Mama asked, you got any funny drive-thru stories?
Well, I used to work for Burger King as a manager as I was a teen, and we've had, I mean, working at Burger King, obviously the stupid Big Mac. I mean, that's before we all did scavenger hunts, so obviously it wasn't for that. But, yeah, weird things on. People ask for ice cream at Burger King if we serve alcohol.
That always cracks me up. Hey, can you give me a margarita through the drive-thru? Dude, you're not supposed to drink and drive. That's always cracks me up when people ask for alcohol. So, yeah, so I would love to hear what some of you think. What is the craziest thing you've ever had from a drive-thru? Let's play a commercial from an upcoming org, and then we will hop into tonight's Survivor episode. House of Horrors by Bree and Calvin. That starts this Friday night. I've actually applied for this game, so I'm hoping that I get cast. They're going to reveal the cast tomorrow night. It's going to be an awesome game. If you have not applied, there is still time. Contact Bree or Calvin on Facebook, and they'll set you up an interview. That is House of Horrors. It is a mafia-style game, so if you're like, I'm not used to the – I'm getting tired of the Survivor, Big Brother, same thing over and over again, this gives you a new opportunity to try something new. With that being said – let's get into Survivor. Tonight's episode was very interesting. We got a season second canvas, episode 3. We start with 2 tribes. Previously on Survivor, we see that we're just getting back from the season of eviction, when Kareen was voted off. And we're getting into tonight's episode, and it picks up right where it ends off. We go back to Takeo's tribe, and we see Spencer immediately thanking people. Hey, I appreciate the fact that y'all kept me another week. You kept me another round. You let Shireen go. I promise I'm going to do better. I promise I'm going to succeed in this game more. I'm going to build a personal connection with you. And we just see Spencer begin to kind of try to find his way back in this tribe. And then you see the beautiful, amazing, fantastic Terry Dietz step up and say, I'm king of the world! I was in the bottom. I'm on the top. I'm rocking this tribe now. And you see just this complete switch from week one or from day one to day 9. Day one, you have to remember that this tribe, Takeo, at this point has been to every single tribal council. And at the very first tribal, Terry was on the bottom. Terry was on the outs, and Spencer was running the world. And then you see at the end of episode 2, which would be the end of day 6, it's the complete opposite. Spencer's on the outs. He's the next one to probably go. And Terry is on top, and he's the king of the world. And everybody's starting to feel comfortable. You're starting to feel some tribal unity. And then you immediately cut to the beach where they're all coming up, and Jeff is standing there and asking people how they comfortable they feel, how everything's feel. I love Cass's response here, Mama. She's like, it's a love tribe. I never expected Cass to use the word love. But Cass is like, oh, this is a love tribe. We're in perfect harmony. Everything's great. And of course, when everything gets comfortable, what's the words that Jeff Probst says? He says, it's time to drop your buffs. And he says that we're switching from tribes. We're switching up. We're going from 2 tribes to 3 tribes. Now, what do you think of this, Mama S? And we're used to tribe swaps. We're used to them happening in the game of Survivor. And that's kind of what I love about this season so far. They're not reinventing new twists. They're not reinventing the hidden immunity idol. They're not reinventing the tribe swap. They're just shifting it and changing it to make it more challenging in a way that it doesn't expect. So instead of switching 2 tribes, and we add a completely new tribe, what do you think of this twist?
I'll be honest, as an Orger, the first thing I thought was Joshua Felix and his backwards big brother.
Oh, Lord.
So I thought, oh, backwards survivor. How interesting. They seem to be doing things we do in these games lately. Come on, that emoji thing and Big Brother and the other stuff.
Mark Burnett really...
taking a step from us, not us taking a step from them for once.
Mark Burnett actually plays Survivor on orgs, and he takes the twists that we make, and he makes them into Survivors. We just don't know who he actually is, but somebody is an alias. Some of you is really a Burnett hidden in disguise. Here's what I think about this twist. I like it, and I don't like it for several reasons. I like the twist because it totally adds a new aspect to the game. I mean, nobody's safe at this point. You're lowering the numbers. You're giving more people to compete against, more teams to compete against. You're also giving yourself another chance in this game because instead of being in first place, you just have to be in the top two to win immunity. And you're really bringing a new diversity to it because it's very likely that everything's going to switch. You're not going to be on with all of your old tribe. It's just going to be different. Here's what I don't like about it. What I don't like is it's a random draw. I don't like that we randomly pick these three tribes, and here's the reason why I don't like that. Because you're sending one tribe to a beach with nothing. You're sending one tribe into an automatic disadvantage, and the only way that's picked is the draw of the buff. Like, I think there should have been some form of challenge or some form of challenge for the top two, and then you do some kind of pick or something. But, I mean, immediately when you do this, you're taking whoever goes to Angkor.
It's
Angkor.
Okay, your brain's on vacation already. It's okay. We
yeah.
talked about this.
I'm already getting ready for my cruise. It's here in 23 days, 3 hours, 17 minutes, and 42 seconds. Not like I'm counting. Angkor. But whoever gets on this tribe has to start over. So not only are you in a bad situation socially, possibly, but you're having to not rest like these other two tribes are in a completely already set up tribe, but you're having to completely create, start over, and make a new tribe. Not only that, but you don't even have the luxuries that these other tribes had on day one. You don't have a ship. There was no rice at this camp. There was no food at this camp. These people that are starting now on day six, by a random draw, are in a worse situation than anybody was on day one in this game. And I don't like the fact that that was randomly decided. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I'll agree with you there. But, I mean, again, it could be an org thing. We're so used to doing a challenge to be like, I want who I want on my tribe, that we take for granted that that's not how it goes. It usually is just a random luck.
And I agree with the random luck of the draw from the beginning because everybody's on an even playing field. But even in orgs, I don't like a twist that puts me in a scenario by random. Like, I don't like in minis when you do number bomb and somebody randomly gets a DPOV. You didn't earn that. You didn't do anything for that. I mean, I like it if it's me that gets it, obviously. But so the fact that... Exactly. But the fact that these six people are randomly being put in this horrible scenario, that bothered me from a gameplay standpoint, because I would hate my $1 million opportunity to come down to a luck of the draw. That's why I hate the purple rock. When Pascal went home in the purple rock, I hate the purple rock. Nobody's game should ever come down to a random chance or a random draw. Let me know what you think about that. You can call me in on 805-285-9730. We're going to get right back into this here in a second. We've got lots of different commercials and things to play tonight. We're going to break down these three tribes and their divisions and how they were break up, get into the challenge, get into who was evicted. But first, let's talk about, again, Big Bro Revival applications in this week. From the hosts that brought you Survival of the Fittest and Dehydration, Big Bro Vival is back. Big Bro Vival 3, Blood vs. Water. Now, this may be a common twist for Survivor games, but if you experience the level of gameplay in Big Brother, now you get the chance. Big Bro Vival's next season will focus on everything Blood vs. Water. You have to apply with a partner. Now, this partner can be either a real-life connection or just your best org friend. But you will be playing the game together. Applications open October 2nd, with the game starting early November. Contact Alex Viber on Facebook for more information or follow the official Big Bro Vival Facebook page. Big Bro Vival 3, Blood vs. versus water. Yeah, big revival interviews for that are starting this week. Mama S, did you ever get a partner?
Yeah, I have three that I'm debating of whether to choose from. So we'll see how that goes. We'll make it a surprise.
All right, team reality rules.
Maybe Alex will have to pick me.
Yeah, well, I've talked it up on here, so Alex would have to, that we have a team reality rules this year in Big Bro Bible. So I think that was it. Alex played in our mini on Saturday, and he enjoyed it. So we casted him for our game, so he should cast you for his.
Yes, I agree. We'll make sure to tell him that. We'll
will.
Make sure to get those other judges on, I mean, those other ones on here too somehow.
Absolutely. If he wants a shot in our All-Stars for the mini, which he's a contender because he played well. We're going to talk about that at the end. He needs to consider you for his cast. Let's get back to Survivor. Okay, so these tribes are drawn, and of course I'm sitting there with my wife, and my wife is just like, oh, the little boxes that their buffs are in are so cute. Why do they have to open those up? But they randomly pick these boxes. They open their tribes, and we have three tribes. Let's break them down real quick. And I have a little name by each of them. We have Bayon, Takeo, and Angkor. And we have Bayon. On Bayon, we have Monica, Jeremy, Fishback, Kimmy, Wigglesworth, and Spencer. Now, here's what I like about this tribe. On the other two tribes, there were two people to whom me were on the outs, Spencer and Fishback. To me, are two of the smartest players and strategic players to play the game of Survivor. And they were both on the outs, and they end up on the same tribe. I'm immediately in my head saying Spencer and Fishback are going to team up. I mean, that's what I immediately think. We're going to talk about what happens here in a little bit. I have by Bayon that this is the Bayon. This is the team of the brains. Like this is these are your brainiacs in this tribe. You've got Fishback, you've got Monica, you've got Kimmy, you've got Wigglesworth. These are not maybe your stronger competitors, but these are going to be your people that really excel in like mental challenges, and you see that in tonight's challenge. These are your people that are going to do really well on a social strategic level, and I think that this is really your strategic players. Now, looking at this tribe of six, if I had to say who would be the first to go, I think that Wigglesworth is probably in the most trouble. When we were in the immunity challenge, I actually messaged Mama S and said, hey, Mama S, I think Wigglesworth's going tonight.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah,
just because she's 4-2. Now, I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. I really want to see Fishback and Spencer team up here and bring Wigglesworth and maybe Kimmy Wentworth in on a deal here. But we'll get into that a little bit more. What do you think of this new Bayon tribe?
I like it. I mean, actually, I like how all the tribes are split up, to be quite honest with you.
Well, and here's what I have. I have Brain by Bayon. Let's go to Takeo. Obviously, this is the team of Brawn. I mean, this is your powerhouse. You've got Keith, Cass, Joe, Terry Dietz, Wentworth, and Sierra. I mean, these are your strongest women and your strongest men. These people are right. They should never lose a challenge. Like, this is stacked. If I was going to be on a tribe, this is who I would want. I mean, you've got Joe and Dietz. You still have the smarts of Cass. You've got Wentworth, who I still think, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, I still think Kelly Wentworth is playing the best game. She's playing a beautiful game right now, and I'm so excited to see her. But Takeo should never lose a challenge, and they proved that tonight. I mean, they're cool with that. And then we go to the Yellow Tribe, the new tribe, the Angkor Tribe, who is PG, Abby, Wu, Varner, Tasha, and Savage. And I called Bayon Brains, I called Takeo Brawn, and I called Yellow crazy. Like, Angkor is just all of the crazy people this season, all the people that are out of their mind, emotional, are on this tribe. And I'm just seeing, oh my gosh, you have nobody that can really build a shelter. You got Savage, who's the only person that's a physical strength and maybe a shelter builder. Wu can help a little bit. This team is hashtag train wreck. Like, I could see them losing almost every single challenge. I don't see a lot of hope and a lot of future for Angkor. And that bothers me because I really like Jeff Varner. We'll talk about him, of course, as we talk to the great sign language debate a little bit later. Let us know what you think, 805-285-9730. I really like Jeff Varner, but to me, these people are just in, they're in a pickle. This is a horrible matchup for these six people. And if I was on this tribe, I probably would just be like, Jeff Probst, I quit. Of course I wouldn't. It would be a dream to be on this show. But, I mean, this is just not a tribe or a scenario that I think anybody really wants or was hoping for. So we get to it. They finally show us. They go back. They send him back. The only reason they came to the beach was for the switch-up. And they move Angor back. And, of course, again, they have no supplies. They have no food. They have no situation of helping. So these people are basically starting over like it's day one all over again. And you see Varner immediately looks to Andrew Savage and starts talking to his four about how Andrew Savage is getting on his nerves. And you see Varner try to start to paint the target on the back of Savage's back. You see him start to try to move things towards Savage, hurting Savage, getting people upset with Savage. And then you see him immediately go to Woo, and you see him go to Abby, and you see him go to PG and say, hey, look, us four need to stick together. We're original Takeo. We're in the majority here. This is the only one of the three tribes that Takeo has a majority in. And they basically say, we need to make sure that we're solid. We need to make sure that we're good moving forward. And try to make this little alliance here. And that's kind of all you see from Angor at the situation. And then you go to Takeo. And again, you see Terry talk about how he's just in this strong tribe. I mean, it's stacked. Terry said, I don't need to worry about my social game because we're not going to lose. There's not a need for numbers. There's not a need for any of these things, even though that him and Kelly Wentworth would be on the outs. Here's where the beautiful stuff starts to happen. Terry starts to go fishing or bathe in the water. He goes into the ocean, and you see Joe approach Kelly Wentworth, and you see Joe start to talk about what was your tribe dynamics like, what were things like over there, and Kelly starts to beautifully push Terry under the bus. Well, Terry might be hunting for an idol. Terry's been looking for the idol. Terry's been hunting these things. She starts saying that how Terry could be the first to go here. She'd be okay to flip on Terry. Yes, she was tight with her tribe, but her and Terry really didn't have any alliance. When this whole time, Kelly's sitting there, she's got the idol in her pocket. She's got the idol hidden somewhere. She has the idol, and she starts to just say, hey, look, if we're going to go to tribal, I want to make sure it's Terry on the outs and not me. And she begins to waver herself into this with Joe, who, in my opinion, from the old tribe, he's the biggest leader that's left here. You got Joe, Cass, Keith, and Sierra. Joe's going to be the one that holds those four together, and Wentworth slowly begins to build that relationship. So Wentworth slowly begins to build that tie. And I think that Wentworth took a what situation, because she's in a 4-2 swing, and really started to put the tides in her favor. She's looking at her tribe. Hey, we're not going to lose more than one or two. If we do, I make sure that Terry's on the outs and I am set up. And I don't know about you, Mamez, but I think Kelly Wentworth is just, she's slaying this game right now. She's just got herself in this great situation, this great scenario, and she's a dark horse. I mean, Kelly Wentworth, I think, could win this whole thing. If there's anybody I think that's playing a true second chance and playing it to the best of their ability, I think right now it's Kelly Wentworth. What's your thoughts on Kelly Wentworth, Susan?
You know what, for me, it's still just a little too soon. Like, I don't know, maybe it's because it's like an all-star thing and you have a bond with each of them. You're like, but I like this person because of this. I like this person because of this. But in my heart and soul, I don't know why, I'm just pulling for Joe. I think he's got this. If he plays it right, I'm 100% behind him.
Survivor MacGyver.
Yes.
All right, so then we go over to Bayonne, and immediately the old tribe on Bayonne gets together. They say, hey, look, we're four strong. Hey, we're good. Let's make sure that we are going forward. It's going to be us four, speaking of Fishback, Jeremy, Monica, and Kimmy. Let's make sure that we stay together, we vote together. And Fishback's the one pushing for that. And that's such a surprise for me. Because Fishback, who I prides himself in Survivor Know-It-Alls, he prides himself as being one of the most strategic players in this game. And yet he was on the outs. He would have been the first one voted out of that other tribe. He would have been the first one gone. But flipping never crosses his mind. flipping never is something that he thinks about or talks about. He sticks to these Bayon people. And I'm like, all right, Fishbag, but you go to the merge, you're going to be the first one to go. You're sitting here with Spencer, who plays the exact same game with you, and we never see you approach Spencer for an alliance. Like, as soon as I saw they were on the same tribe, I'm immediately thinking that's going to be an alliance. But Fishbag says, no, let's stay loyal, let's stay together, and let's move forward in this game together. Which was a surprise to me. I'm a huge Fishback fan. I wanted Fishback to win against JT, even though, I mean, he was his GOAT, whatever. I loved Steven Fishback. I think he's a smart guy. But right now, I am not impressed with how Fishback is playing this game. I'm just so disappointed with how Fishback is playing this game. But we see Spencer, who said he was going to start to play a more emotional game, and we see him talk to Jeremy about his girlfriend. For all of those girls out there that are like, oh, Spencer's so cute, Abby Miller. Spencer is talking about his girlfriend, who he has not told I love you to yet. It makes this emotional connection with Jeremy, and it works. Jeremy's like, man, I really start to trust this guy. I see him opening up to me. I see him going through these things. And we see Spencer taking an old school strategy of making a connection with the people you live with and successfully use it in this game. Old school is winning in this term of strategy. Spencer immediately covers himself with Jeremy, makes this connection, and starts to find himself on the end. There's no doubt in my mind that if this tribe would have went to tribal council tonight, I think Kelly Wigglesworth would have been going home because of the move Spencer made by emotionally connecting with Jeremy. So kudos to Spencer. Great job on that. And moving forward, I think that he's working himself into this tribe where he's in a minority right now in a good scenario. And then we go back to Angkor, and Angkor is immediately talking about how the rain is in. They're already in a bad spot. They don't have shelter, and they're sitting in a tent just getting poured on. And Abby and PG immediately start to bicker. They immediately start to fight. They immediately start to get at each other's throat. Yet again, you see this begin to happen, and Tasha's just like, all right, perfect scenario. Here we go. Tasha starts to work on Abby. Tasha and Savage begin to work on Varner. Tasha and Savage begin to work on PG. Tasha and Savage begin to work on Wu. And you see them finding these little divides, finding these little cracks, and starting to work their way into it. And it's just beautiful. I mean, Tasha played a beautiful game tonight. She said, you know, I don't care that I'm down. I'm not care that I'm in a bad situation. It's not that that's going to happen. In the game of Survivor, that's going to happen. It's not how many bad situations do you get in. It's how do you get yourself out of these bad situations. And Susan, this is something that bothers me in Head of House, in Big Brother, in Survivor. Like, in Big Brother, when you play the game, you're going to get nominated. It's going to happen. It's not what happens. It's not how you get nominated or how many times you get nominated. It's how you react once you're nominated. And Tasha is beautiful at saying, I was dealt a bad hand, but okay, that doesn't mean my game's over. How am I going to get out of it? And I think Tasha illustrates that beautifully here. And her and Savage really start to, they don't make any alliances, they don't make any deals, they just begin to plant the seeds before the challenge, before we know what happens. And we just begin to plant the seeds. Then we go back over to Bayon, and we see Fishback getting idol fever again. Oh my gosh, if I had a dollar for every time Steven Fishback said, hey, I'm going to go hunt for an idol, or hey, where's the idol, or a dollar for every time Fishback said the word idol, I would never have to work a day in my life again. But he gets his tribe.
I just think it was funny them all searching around for it.
Absolutely. So he gets his tribe looking, and I don't know if this was just an editing thing here, but out of the six people in the tribe, the two people that need it the most aren't looking for this idol. There's supposedly these four old Bayon members are looking for this idol together. They're looking for this idol as a group to try to find it to solidify their position in this game. And it's just them four, I mean, tearing this forest apart looking for this hidden immunity idol. And finally, Jeremy finds the clue to the hidden immunity idol, and he finds out that it's not an idol, but it's a clue to an idol, and the idol is hidden at the challenge. Which brings us to the challenge itself. We're going to jump into that, but before we do, three episodes ago, we talked about Survivor Live games, and I now have a commercial for the newest Survivor Live game that is casting for their season this summer. This is a commercial, and then I have an announcement to make after the commercial for Survivor Real Foot. Survivor Real Foot is now casting for Season 3. This is a Survivor-style game held in Northwest Tennessee over a 7-day period. Survivor Real Foot provides the closest Survivor experience that you will find. From the outdoor location, limited food rations, to original challenges, confessionals, and custom-made bumps. This season will be filmed and edited like the real show for a YouTube release. Filming dates for Season 3 are June 5th through the 11th. You can find your application on our website, SurvivorRealFoot.Weebly.com. We encourage all types of applicants, including those with limited outdoor experience and even Survivor knowledge. You can find our fan page on Facebook at Survivor Real Foot and watch past episodes on our website or our YouTube channel. Be sure to catch the premiere of the first half of Season 2 coming in January. Survivor Real Foot. You can find them on SurvivorRealFoot.Weebly.com or look up Amos Ray Smith on Facebook. Survivor Real Foot, casting Season 3 now. Survivor Real Foot, casting right now. Go to their website, SurvivorRealFoot.Weebly.com. Here's the awesome announcement that I have. We've been talking to Amos Ray Smith. And as he said, Survivor Real Foot episodes for Season 2 will start airing in January. We are now, Reality Rules is teaming up and is a proud sponsor of Survivor Real Foot. And as the episodes come out in January, we will be taking the evicted tribe mate, the evicted survivors from that game and interviewing them on this show and partnering with Survivor Real Foot. And those that were evicted in that order, we'll be bringing them onto the show. Along with Amos, and interviewing them and talking about Survivor Real Foot as it happens in January. I'm super excited about that. I know Susan's super excited about that. We're going to be talking solely with more people about that. Susan, what do you have?
Also, if anybody else wants to know about how live games are run and stuff, if you can go to AAO, Richard Rose just posted something. He's doing the editing for Rebecca Chatfield's game, which Travis and Cody helped with production. He posted the intro to it on AAO, and yes, and you can follow him, and as the episodes go up, you'll have easy access right there on YouTube. It was an amazing game, and I'm sure everybody wants to watch it.
And I've been talking to Rebecca. Once they get the details for Pirate Booty Camp Season 2, we will also be running commercials and helping run signups for that for Pirate Booty Camp Season 2. So more information for that to come. But Survivor Real Foot, we will be having recaps on that in the winter. So it's pretty cool. I'm excited to recap a game with people that I know, recapping and talking and getting the more strategy from org players and not just what happens on CBS. So the challenge happens. And as the challenge happens, we see that this is a redemption challenge again. It's a second chance for people that competed in Brain Bronze versus Beauty, Tasha, Spencer, and Cass, and they're all on three separate tribes. So two of them will get their redemption. Two of them will win their second chance, and it's the challenge with the key, and you get the key off the ring, and then you push the crate through, and then there's that big dragon puzzle at the end. And, of course, no surprise, Takeo comes in first place. Joe, MacGyver survivor, holds things out for him. Susan's pick to win it all. Bayon comes in second, and the poor, pitiful tribe of Angkor comes in third, and they're going to tribal council. And then here's the craziest part of the whole episode. They're standing on the mats. It's the very end of this challenge, and Jeff Varner, could you tell what he was trying to say? I rewound it and I paused it. I don't know what he was trying to say, but he mouthed something to Kelly Wigglesworth. And again, I rewound it, I paused it, I tried to read his lips. Jeff Varner tries to communicate with Kelly Wigglesworth. I don't know what he would say. I don't know what he could say that would help him here. But he begins to try to communicate with Wigglesworth. Tasha sees him and immediately starts to jump in front of him. She immediately tries to throw it off to do this, and you see that happen. And then you see them come back. You see Jeff hand out the immunity idols, and Jeff says, "Tasha Varner, what happened here? What's going on?" And Tasha immediately calls out Varner, "Why are you not focusing on your family? Why are you trying to talk to other people? Why are you not focusing on what's going on here?" And then they start to talk about deals. Varner gets on his high horse. He starts to be vocal, like he has this whole game that's worked for him this whole game. And Varner immediately starts to say, "Hey, well, let's keep our alliances the same. Let's keep the tribes the same." And he calls out Savage. "Savage, you did not approach me. You did not then approach PG. You did not then approach Abby trying to work a deal." And then Wu, I love it. Wu looks at Varner and says, "Well, what about me? Are we still good? What's going on with us right here, Varner?" Wu immediately starts to get on the defensive and says, "Why was I not included in these alliance talks?" And Varner makes a huge mistake here. I'm a huge Jeff Varner fan, but he's got to adapt a little more to the situation. And when he lost, he should have just tucked his head, walked back to Tribe, and Andrew Savage would probably be walking out the door right now. But that's not what happens. He can't put his foot in his mouth, and he's walking back to this tribe realizing, "Crap, I'm probably going home." And they walk back to their tribe, they get to their situation, and all hell breaks loose. Let me flip my page over here. Savage begins to get excited immediately because Savage is like, "Ah, crap, Varner just messed up. Here's our open door. Things are happening for us." He works on Wu and PG, and Wu and PG are like, "All right, we're on board. You're right. Varner needs to go." I think Wu is on board a little more than PG is. I think PG is very hesitant at this point. And then you cut to Abby and Tasha, who are sitting on the side over here. And you see Abby and Tasha. And Abby says, "You know what? I was on the bottom on the other tribe. I'm with you. Y'all want to vote out Varner? Let's vote out Varner." And Abby gets on board with voting out Varner. But Abby, in true Abby fashion, walks over and tells everybody else about the plan. And the plan begins to blow up. PG and Abby get into it again. And PG says, "I'm not going to deal with this. I can't deal with Abby anymore." PG goes to Savage and Tasha and says, "Let's vote out Abby. I'm tired of Abby. Abby has to go." And Tasha comes to Abby. And you have this cluster of everybody basically throwing everybody under the bus between PG and Abby. And now the three people who had the biggest targets on their back, being Savage, Tasha, and Jeff Varner, are flying high and deciding between these two girls who's going to go home. So Savage and Tasha go to PG and Wu and say the vote is Abby. And then they go to Jeff and Abby and say the vote is PG. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I got you. I'm sorry. I keep muting it because of the Cubs game. We're in the bottom of the game 4-0. I'm sorry.
No, I had just heard a little feedback. I didn't know if it was my mic. I was wanting to test. And so you have Jeff and Abby going to vote PG. And then you're going into Tribal Council. And, of course, Jeff brings back up the situation. Jeff Probst brings back up the situation that happened at the end of the challenge. He asks Tasha and Jeff what has happened on. And Tasha basically said that, you know, it was a loyalty thing. To me, focus on your family. Don't talk about your family over there. And Varner basically says, you know, it is what it is. It happened. I thought I was going home. And he just starts to call everybody out in true Varner fashion. Varner has been to every tribal council, and I'm glad, because Varner has made every tribal council entertaining. He doesn't take BS. He doesn't sugarcoat. He doesn't beat around the bush. Varner's going to meet you in the face. He's going to attack you, and he's going to call you out, and he's going to tell you what happens. And that's exactly what happens. He makes Abby nervous. He makes Savage nervous. He makes Wu nervous. He makes PG nervous. Tells everybody, basically, nobody's safe. And then, of course, Jeff Probst says, "Let's time to vote." And the vote comes down to 2-3, and PG was blindsided, taken out of this game completely, didn't see it coming, and we have another blindside in this season of second chances. And Abby, she finds a way to sneak herself, and get herself to this next round yet again. How many lives does Abby have in this game, Mama S? She continuously finds a way to get to the next round. And you can't say that Abby's not playing a decent game right now.
No, I like Abby. I wasn't a fond of her. But, hey, any way that keeps you in the game, I'm all for it. I mean, she may be a bitch. She may be feisty and cause trouble. But good for her. She's still there.
And she's playing
it
smart.
I think that's a lot of problems. And even I do it to people. Like, you know, even sitting on the jury or when you're watching your show, you're just like, I don't like them. Like, Vanessa, I loved her game. Like, she killed it. So what, she lied? I've done that myself. But it's just something maybe about the attitude. But, I mean, I think she's doing great. If she can manage to keep herself in there, good for her. Let her do it.
And with PG going home, we said goodbye to our second fantasy player, Jason Stevens. I'm sorry, but you picked the wrong horse to ride in this game, and you have also been voted out of our fantasy game in going on there. So moving forward next week, it looks like the episode will be as entertaining as always. Anchor looks like they're in for some more struggle and some more trouble. We're going to start doing something a little different on Reality Rules. We're going to broadcast who we think our player of the week was in Survivor, and the Reality Rules player of the week is Tasha. She just, you know, as the hands that she was dealt this week were horrible. She should have been in a situation where she was going home. She kept her eye on the prize. She stayed focused. She casted the blame. She found the cracks, and she managed to put herself in a power position. And I think that Tasha played the best game this week. The worst player of the week obviously has to be PG because she did go home. And I just don't think she saw it coming. I think she was too focused on an emotional play by getting rid of Abby and not focused on what was strategic. And by that, she missed that the strategic move was coming for her. And so she wasn't able to check her emotions at the door. And ultimately, that's why PG went home. But that Survivor for this week, it was an awesome episode. I'm always, Wednesday nights are one of my favorite nights, especially now that Big Brother's over, because we get to see the wonderful game and the wonderful world of Survivor. Moving forward, who do I think is going to be evicted next week? It's going to come down to tribal and challenge loss. I think that if Angkor loses again, I would say Abby. But I just have this feeling, Mama S, that next week's evictee is going to be, and I hate to say it because she was one of my pre-picks, Kelly Wigglesworth. I could see Kelly Wigglesworth going home next week. What about you, Mama S? Who do you think's leaving next week?
You know what? I'll agree with you on that. If it works out to where their team is going to tribal, I definitely think it'll be her.
And I hate that.
No, I do too. I like her as a player. I mean, she's a favorite and everything too, but I think that might work to her disadvantage.
She hasn't had a lot of screen time since the first episode.
No, you know what? She hasn't.
So here's my question. Do you think Varner talking to her at the challenge would hurt her? Because people would say, hey, Kelly has Varner if they merge, so we need to make sure we split them up before the merge.
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, because that right there showed that there's a little bit of a cross-tribal alliance there. So could that come back to them later on in the game? Are we done with this World War II of Tasha and Jeff? Or could that be, hey, there's this obviously cross-tribal alliance here that we don't want to meet back at Merge? Tell us what you think on our Facebook page. Do you think the Varner blow-up could hurt Varner or even Kelly Wigglesworth moving back in this game? Or call us at 805-285-9730. So that's Survivor for the week. Let's wrap that up. It was, of course, a fantastic episode, as always. It was a lot of fun, and we'll be back here to recap next week's episode. We're not done yet. A couple of announcements and a couple wrap-ups here on Reality Rules. We will be starting next week. I don't think Mom S watches this that much. I watch it because my wife watches it once a week. I know it comes on twice. I will start doing some of the voice recaps. We get into the battle rounds next week, so we'll pick a day. Look on our Facebook for more information on that. But I'll start recapping The Voice. Those will probably only be 30-minute episodes because I don't think I can talk about The Voice for longer than about 30 minutes. But we will do some voice recaps on that starting next week as we get into the battle rounds. And as always, we have our first ever mini Extreme Mini last week, which was a huge success. We had a couple people playing in that game, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Mama S enjoyed it. We did have a winner. We're going to recap that a little bit here, but before that happens, let's play the intro from last Saturday's Mini Extreme Mini, and then we'll kind of break that down for you a little bit here. Let me find it. Night on Reality Rules. We have our first ever Extreme Mini. 5 people will compete for power and a chance in our championship round at the end of the month. Our cast tonight, Daniel, Miranda, Cody, Breed and Billy. Who will survive, who will be voted out, and who will reign champion at the end of the night? Tune in now as we get started with our big brother, Extreme Mini Mini by Reality Rules. Let me get my notes pulled up from that game here. What did you think overall of our first Mini Mini, Susan?
I enjoyed it. I mean, there was a couple of bugs, but obviously it was the first time. You know, we had the couple thing going on, but I thought it was great. I thought it was fun. I think we have some great new ideas for the next one. Let's just hopefully it pans out and we get great contestants like we had the first time. I know our third episode of Mini Mini is going to be really good, and a lot of people are going to want to listen to that one, but we won't mention that cast until
we can announce it next Wednesday.
Okay.
We can announce it next Wednesday, the week before, to tune people in case we don't have those last two spots filled. More information, but that cast is going to be awesome. But we do need people to fill our mini-mini this weekend. Susan kind of helps me organize those. So if you're interested in playing in this weekend's Mini Extreme Mini, it will be at the same time of 10:30 Eastern Standard Time this Saturday night. You can message Susan on Facebook, and she'll get you the information. We'll also have some posts going up about that tonight or tomorrow. About that. But let's talk about last Friday's game. Let's break that down a little bit here. We've got about 5 minutes to talk about it. Our cast was Bree, Billy, Daniel, Miranda, and Cody, who you heard in that, was not able to make the show. We're going to get him in here in the future. But Alex Viver, again, thank him so much for filling in the last minute. And it was Battle of the Couples. We had two couples. We had Bree and Billy and Miranda and Daniel. And, you know, Alex obviously threw that first HOH because he knew he didn't need it. He knew the couples were going to battle against each other, and that's exactly what happened. And it came down to whoever would win that HOH would win the whole thing, would take out the other couple. Bree wins that HOH, instantly nominates Daniel and Miranda. Miranda wins the veto. Alex goes up next to Daniel. It's a tie, 1-1. Daniel goes home, voted out by Bree. I don't think that was a surprise at all. I thought as soon as Bree won that HOH, if Daniel didn't win the veto, I knew that Daniel was going home. And that was just pretty expected for me. What does surprise me is the next round, the Bree and Billy showmance wins again and nominates Miranda and Alex as Billy wins HOH. Miranda wins the POV again. Bree and Alex are on the block, and Bree goes home. Those were our two regular standard rounds. Miranda killed those vetoes. I mean, she won two vetoes, and then she wins the final head of household, and she's able to pick who she wants. And to me, that was the shocker of the night, Mama S. When Miranda won the final head of household, I was for sure she was taking Alex. Like 100%.
Oh yeah, that
was Miranda taking Alex.
That was pretty interesting. I thought the vote down came down to voting for Miranda instead of Billy,
yeah,
Bree.
So Miranda takes Billy,
but
and then Bree.
Just to show you, it doesn't really matter.
You know, and that's how it should be in a true org. You know, you play for who plays the best game. It doesn't matter your relationship. And I'm just as guilty as but as the next person. I vote better sometimes.
Oh, for
I like
sure,
to say that
for
I don't.
Sure.
But Bree does. Billy is sitting there, and Bree is the deciding vote for Miranda to win. So, yeah, it was a couple's twist. Yes, it wasn't ideal, but it didn't play out like couples, and that was very interesting to watch. So Miranda has earned a spot in our October wrap-up All-Stars game against four other competitors. Three will be the winners of our next three games, and one will be at least one, maybe two players chosen at random or by us as who we think will be a wild card spot. Speaking of wild cards, the Cubs are still up 4-0.
I know. I've got four more outs here to go, and I'm going to have a stroke most likely before then.
Don't have a stroke. We need you as we move forward. But if you are interested or you would like to play in the Reality Rules second live Extreme Mini Mini, Mama S just posted some more in Reality Rules and other places. Please sign up. It was a lot of fun. And even if you weren't crazy about all the challenges and all the trivia, we're going to change that up before this weekend. There will be new challenges. We're hoping to stray away from trivia a little bit, or at least mix it up and give it a new aspect and a new play on that. We will, of course, just as always, be having our amazing race recap 15 minutes before that. On Saturday, the game only lasted an hour and like 10 minutes, so it was not a long time commitment. If you hear the word mini and you're used to, oh my gosh, it's going to be a 4 or a 5 hour game, that was not the case at all. It was very much a slow.
It's only 4 or 5 hours when Joshua and Calvin host.
Oh, no, when Joshua hosts, it's like 7 or 8 hours. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true. I've been up till 6 in the morning waiting for results.
Oh, Lord, I know. Okay, we got one more commercial, and then we will get back and wrap this sucker up tonight. This is for Blackout. A new game coming to Facebook is Blackout. It is a third-person competition-based alias game. It is ran by none other than Jason Voorhees himself and has many famous killers and survivors trying to kill and or survive once again. Your goal is to be on top or get your lights snuffed out, because if you aren't, you're blacked out. For more information, see Wade on Facebook at Wade James Lee. See Wade on Facebook for more information on the upcoming game Blackout, a horror mix horror sure to keep your lights on. All right. That one should be opening up here in the next week or two. That's all we got for Reality Rules tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Great episode of Survivor. Of course, we will be recapping that again next week here at 10:30. We would love to hear, love to have you call in. We're also looking always for people. If you want to come in and spend an episode and kind of co-host with me and Susan, we would love to have you. Message me or Susan for more details on that. 805-285-9730 is our call-in number, as always. As most of you know, on October the 31st, I will be bon voyage as I celebrate a late honeymoon with my wife. I will be gone for 14 days on a Caribbean cruise. Reality Rules will not shut down. Susan will be taking over for me and continuing to host during those weeks. We will still have our Extreme Mini-Minis. We will still have our Survivor wrap-ups and recaps. We will still try to do some Amazing Race recaps. We're hoping that spices up a little bit. As I'm gone, we have the excellent, awesome Cody James will be coming in and helping Susan host some of those shows. Cody has a busy schedule sometimes, so he can't always be here for maybe some of the other shows. If you're interested in maybe co-hosting with Susan, message her on Facebook. She'd love to help that week. Or even if you don't want to co-host, but you want to do kind of what she does as she's talking more, and you'd love to help out with posting some Facebook stuff and that kind of stuff, we would love to have you help out.
Or even if they have any ideas, they want to come on and talk about their game. We are still looking for hosts to come on and talk about what they're looking in and their players. Anything they want to talk about, pre-made, new people, things going on in their game, ideas, we're open to anything.
Yeah, and we're working on getting some more hosts on there, but we're already up to 2 or 3 shows a week, and we've got lots of stuff going on there. But, yes, any ideas, anything you'd want to see, we're always open for feedback here. We're always open to hear more. But thanks for tuning in. This is Reality Rules. Just as always, I am Andrew. This is Mama S. Stay rule, stay reality, and we will see you on Saturday.